Okay, great. Well, we hold these every 2 weeks, and there, someone just joined.
Hi, this is Alma.
Hi, Alma. How are you today?
Pretty good, and you?
Good. We're just starting, so
okay.
You're just in time.
All right.
I always explain to everyone we hold these every 2 weeks. Our next one's going to be, though, on October 29th because we're having an all-grantee meeting on the 22nd. We'll be sending everyone announcements and just, again, a half-hour conversation so we can get together and talk about some of these issues. Someone just joined? Okay. We always start these off, of course, with news from Washington and any announcements. So, Glo, have anything for us today?
I don't. I talked to headquarters yesterday, and Joe didn't have anything for me to pass along today. But as he always wants me to remind people to continue with your reporting in acres, how very important it is to maintaining this job training program. So continue to do that. Continue to put together your best practices. Send it to your regional coordinators. All those things, very, very important.
Okay. And, of course, the big news for the grantees is the annual
Debbie
grantee.
Wilson.
Excuse me, who was that?
I'm very sorry.
Oh, that's
Lisa,
okay.
To announce myself. I didn't know you'd started talking.
That's okay.
Yeah,
Debbie Wiesen, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay,
Julie
Debbie.
Carlo just joined as well.
And Judy, where are you all from?
Pahrump, Nevada.
Okay, Nevada, great.
Boston.
One of the things that the big thing is the all-grantee meeting. For those of you who are grantees, we do like to hear where people are from. So who is that?
This is Ricky Cole from Camden.
Hey, Ricky. Okay, great. Part of the presentation today. So, well, we'll make this announcement quick. We do have this all-grantee meeting. We'll have the grantees. We have 10 PLC members who don't have EPA grants who are invited. We invited all the PLC members to come. It's going to be a great conference, 2 full days, transportation on the 21st, the heavy-duty days, 22nd, 23rd, and then everyone goes home on the 24th. And the theme of what we're doing this year is working with mentors and, of course, working with grantees and interchange between grantees and people who want to start programs. So we're going to be doing a lot of mentoring, a lot of getting to know not only the EPA regional people, but all of the other the people who are doing grants, so that those people who are either new or don't have a grant yet can sit down with people who have had it and decide whether they want to go ahead with this, learn some tricks, what to stay away from, some new techniques that have worked for them, different strategies for placement, recruitment, keeping your students in your program. So it's a great interchange, and of course we've got breakout sessions and plenary sessions, and there's about 100, it's a perfect size group, about 130 people, a lot of EPA people, all the regional people that will be there, your regional reps, and we're having all of the in fact Randy will be among many others who will have really good grants, and they're going to work as kind of facilitators to in these small groups to talk with the people that come to their small group and keep the conversation going in terms of different subtopic areas. So one of the things, what we're going to talk about this week, and this is the other Camden, not New Jersey, but Arkansas, probably the one I'd prefer to live in. I think of it as a small southern town. I don't know that it's a sleepy small southern town, but it's kind of in the middle of the state. It's got about 56% African American population, about 22% below poverty level. But the neat thing, and we talked last week to Zender about the most difficult, and I talked earlier about the most difficult grant programs are rural, and also working with Native American tribes. And of course, as we said, in Helena, you're going to have some of these same issues, and the issues stem from the issue of not a lot of people to draw from necessarily, a sparsity of jobs, not a lot of heavy industry. If you were in Camden, New Jersey, you've got tons of people. Your biggest problem is screening and trying to find the best of a huge pool. The same thing happens in Chicago and San Francisco, all of these large urban areas. But we've been focusing on the more rural areas where you've got individuals who have not been to school for a long time. They're trying a new career. It's much more difficult. And then, of course, once you've got them trained, trying to place them in a proper job that would work for them. And, of course, on reservations, it's difficult because you want to keep them on the reservation. You don't want them to leave, but you've got to get them to places where they can work and then still live in the reservation. So all of these issues are some things that I'm sure Camden is confronted with. The neat thing that I really am impressed about with Camden, and they've had four EPA grants, so you know, and every one of these competitions, they had to compete with all the other people. You know they can write really good proposals. You know they have a good program. But when you look into their program, you can see why. They do something that very few other programs do. They have this partnership between the state, the city, the universities, and they're working indirectly or somewhat directly, we'll find out, with the state legislature. They and only one other program, which is New Jersey Youth Corps, have been really successful in getting involved in getting into the budget. And I'll let Randy and his crew talk about what they're doing. But one of the things that's really interesting is how they've developed this program, which originally, way back, started in 67 with the Academy. But how they've worked with the legislature, they've worked with the Department of Ed, they've worked with industrial contacts, and they've worked within registration fees to keep this program going. So it's really impressive how they've been able to make this work. Besides working with the community, they have done an excellent job being a rural brownfield, what I consider a rural brownfields training program, in learning what is the real demand for people that they could train in their community. And when they, and we ran into this in, at Zender, they had a similar situation in a rural brownfield where, look at these little towns and what do they have? They've got municipal wastewater treatment plants. They've got municipal solid waste programs. These little towns, and Zender actually was creating jobs in these small towns because everyone needs wastewater plants, water plants, and waste sites. And they seized on this in the small rural and tribal communities and said, we can train the people that could go into that. Now, it's easier said than done because you have to be able to work with municipalities. And it appears to me that Camden has been able to do that. So, Randy, have I talked too much? Let me turn it over to you and tell us about your program.
All right, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the program that we have and the partnership that we have with the City of Camden. First of all, I guess the first thing I'd like to say is that this type of program is not something that you can develop overnight. The partnerships are the key components to it. So, what I'd like to talk with you a little bit about today is sort of, how we formed that partnership, who the Environmental Training Academy is, how we got involved with Camden's program, and how our program has evolved over four different grants in 7 years, some lessons we learned, and hopefully, what made our program successful that could, translate into helping somebody else. So I guess first, to give you an idea of the Arkansas Environmental Training Academy, I am the director of that academy. We're a statewide agency, government agency. We fall under the auspices of higher education. We're part of Southern Arkansas University Tech in Camden, Arkansas. Camden's about 106 miles due south of Little Rock. So we're due south in the, the lower, I guess probably 30 miles or so from the Louisiana line. So we're South Arkansas. The Environmental Academy, though, unlike most two-year colleges or four-year colleges that have regional missions that will cover just a very few counties, we are the state environmental training center, which means that we have jurisdiction to travel all over the state of Arkansas to provide environmental education. I have 5 full-time program coordinators, 20 part-time instructors, 5 full-time instructors, an assistant director, and two administrative secretaries and myself.
Pat Barnes.
The academy is made up of five divisions. We are primarily we were born in the late 1960s, early 1970s to provide water and wastewater treatment for the state of Arkansas for the state's licensing program. And we evolved from that in the early 80s with solid waste management, backflow prevention, and environmental health and safety rounds out where we are at today. So one September afternoon in 2006, Kathy Lee, whom I, was the assistant mayor at the time for the city of Camden and who I give a lot of the credit for the Camden program, come to visit with me and ask if we would be interested in partnering with the city to develop a job training program known as the Brownfield Job Training Program. And so we began to look at, what we could do. Most of what we already did fit in very well with the program. The city had been successful in assessment and cleanup grants, so that made them eligible to apply for the job training grant. So we thought, yeah, we can do this. And so we sit down and we work up the training program. We get our partners in order, decide who should be involved. Got the grant and was still sort of in the dark. As far as did we do the right thing? Are we adding the right curriculum? We get to Alexandria. We walk into the room the first night, and as people began to walk around, go around the room introducing themselves, we got real small real fast because people were introducing themselves. I'm with Chicago, I'm with New York, I'm with Phoenix, I'm with Los Angeles. And then we were little rural Camden, Arkansas, population less than 12,000 people. And so, I think our first taste of the job training program was at that meeting, and we were like, what have we got into? So as we went through that conference, if you're a first timer and you've never been, I strongly encourage you to do that. It will take a lot of the anxieties that you may be feeling away. This program, everybody seems to help each other. And most every other type of grant program I've been associated with over the years, they're so competitive that nobody wants to tell you their secret. And then we get up to the all-grant team meeting, and it's like everybody's spilling their guts. This is how we done it. This is how we were successful. So, this is what we think can help you. And so we took a lot away from it. We come back home. We got over the jitters. And we rolled up our sleeves and we went to work. So in 2007, our first grant consisted of three training cycles with 13 classes ranging from 8-hour days to 40-hour classes that lasted all week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. And so we had all that set up. We'd done the advertising. We had done town hall meetings. We put flyers everywhere we could stick a flyer, and we expected this multitude of people to show up, and all of a sudden, when it got time to make our selection, we had six people out of the 12,000 population of the city of Camden. And so we immediately got nervous, but, again, we took and rolled our sleeves up. We took those six students and trained them to the best of our ability. And we got about two-thirds of the way through the program, and people really began to find out about the program. Employers began to find out about the program. And all, we had an employer that showed up one afternoon to class and offered all of them a job. As soon as graduation was over, they had a job waiting on them. They were looking, for people to do asbestos remediation that was dealing with lead. And they needed everyone that they could get their hands on. So, that made us feel better about it. And that was probably the number one factor that helped us going forward, is that we didn't get finished with a program and employers were lining up to take them. So SOCA 1 got completed. We graduated that cohort of students and reassembled our partners, began to review how things went, you know, how could we improve on it. You know, and the largest complaint that we had was that it was hard for people, you know, who were not totally unemployed. You know, they may be working a part-time job, you know, 15, 20 hours a week. Well, they couldn't come Monday through Friday from 8 to 4. So we began to look at, okay, well, how can we react to that? How can we combat that so that we can, you know, get more people into our program? So we consulted with our Region 6 EPA folks. Amber Perry and that group down there, they were wonderful. They were tremendous, you know, working with us. And so we developed, for cycle two, we developed hybrid classes.
Oh, okay, this is
and
a,
so students,
CT
the core part of the curriculum over the Internet. And this was going to allow, you know, people that had jobs to work, and they would only have to come onto campus about two nights a week to do labs, to do the hands-on portion of the training. And so interest picked up considerably. We went from 6 applicants to we had nearly 30 people interested in the program. And so we think, well, okay, well, we're doing something right. So we get going with that program. The biggest pro we had was that, you know, the part-time students could come. It opened it up to more people. They only had to find a babysitter two nights a week to come for hands-on training. But the biggest con that we had was when you start teaching people HAZWOPers and DOT and confined space entry and things like that, it has a language of its own. And so we found the biggest problem that we had was when we would have a lab that, you know, we were having to spend more time covering information that they should have been picking up over the Internet while they were reading than the actual hands-on stuff. So that became an issue for us. And so, you know, we graduated that cohort of students. We assembled our partners back together, discussed what went good, what went bad. You know, so we decided that while the concept of Internet-based training was great, our curriculums were far too advanced for the students who had never heard, you know, about HAZWOPer, who had never heard about asbestos remediation or wastewater treatment or something like that. So we thought, okay, well, everybody liked the fact that they could come up here in the evening and do labs. So we again contacted Region 6 and asked them for another variance from our training schedule, and in cycle three of our first grant, we started teaching all classes at night. So our program went from about a month and a half to 2 months in cycle one to 19 weeks. Taught Monday through Thursday from 5 o'clock in the evening to 9 o'clock in the evening. And so we marketed that to people who, you know, could come to class in the evening. Maybe they were underemployed, they had a part-time job, or maybe one person in the house worked, the other one didn't. So they were able to flip-flop and, you know, took care of the babysitter issues that prohibited them from coming to straight day classes. All of a sudden, we had 50 applicants vying for, you know, about, our goal was to interview 15 people. Or to bring in 15 people and hopefully graduate 10 of them. So now we're over here having to figure out, okay, we got 50 applicants. How are we going to choose the right 15? And so we felt like that we had found our niche, and, you know, we found out what would work for our community. And, you know, so I said all that, you know, to say this, just to give you a history that, you know, while all of the training programs are similar, you know, ours are probably not that much different from where you're from. We all have the same minimum requirements that are suggested curriculums from EPA and the grant, but you have to make your training program unique for your community, your local workforce, you know, the types of employers that you have. You know, we have placed people at our local water and wastewater treatment plants that may not work somewhere else. I don't know. We've had a lot of, you know, South Arkansas has had some really tough economic times. You know, so there were a lot of asbestos type and jobs that were available. A lot of lead remediation type jobs have been available. You know, so you have to find, you know, the types of jobs that are available. That's what you have to teach. The other part of ours is we are located in an industrial park that houses a large contingency of government defense contractors. So, you know, what type of employees could we place with those type of facilities? You know, they've all got to have the OSHA 30-hour general industry type classes, the HAZWOP or the confined space entries, the DOT hazardous waste shipping and things like that. So we evolved our program to include those types of classes that would allow people to go to work in those types of facilities. So we felt like we found our niche. Now, we will begin training for our fourth grant in January. And as with the three previous grants, this one's going to be a little bit different as well. Every grant that we have had, we have tweaked, some of them in midstream, some of them from grant to grant. We will continue with our night classes. We will be teaching 19 classes. It takes us about 6 months to complete it. Our students will achieve 19 certifications or certificates from the Environmental Training Academy. They will have the opportunity, as Mike said, we partnered with our state agencies, our State Department of Health, our State Environmental Quality. So they will have an opportunity to have 4 state licenses. They'll have an opportunity to earn 3 national training cards or certificates. And in addition to that, we are part of the Southern Arkansas University System. They can take the training credentials that they earn in this program, and we can get them converted into college credit toward our Associates of Applied Science in Environmental Management. So, you know, the more that, you know, we can get, you know, to offer the people who are prospective students, the more that they're going to be interested in it. But when it all comes down to it, I guess the bottom line for them is, where can I get a job and how much money can I earn? And Camden has been very successful with the program. Our placement rate's over 80%. And in South Arkansas, you know, where the local income, you know, is quite a bit lower than the national average, our folks are going to work for $15, $16 an hour versus maybe working some other local job that pays almost half that. So we've been very successful in it. The changes we'll include in this year's program, the wastewater treatment, we've been asked to do municipal wastewater treatment, the training that we already provide for the state, so the students will be eligible to take the state licensure exam for municipal wastewater. We're also going to include industrial wastewater treatment that will be tied directly back to the state of Arkansas's industrial wastewater licensing program. Our solid waste management class is tied directly to our environmental qualities state solid waste licensure plan. So, you know, we have developed the type of relationships that we feel will, you know, are required to make the program successful. So what has made our program successful, number one, is partnerships. You know, can't stress that one enough. The city of Camden has been very wonderful, you know, working with us at the academy and at the college. We involve our local workforce training center, not only for the city of Camden, Arkansas, but El Dorado, Arkansas, Magnolia, Arkansas, as well. We have spread out our service area for students basically to those areas, which is about a 50-mile radius. that says if you live in driving distance to the campus and are interested, we will look at you for this program. And so we sort of took ourselves out of that 12,000 population box and expanded our program to reach a greater audience, which has allowed us to have an opportunity to train more people. We involve our local Arkansas Economic Development Council. It's very critical to involve your local, state, and national employment agencies. And we've had students who have gone to work locally. We've had students who have taken jobs out across our state. We've had students who have gone out of state to work. We had students who responded to the oil spill in the Gulf that went down and got jobs doing that. We even had one, I don't know how he pulled it off, but he's ended up, I believe it was, Ricky, you can help me. I'm going blank on it.
Guy's a manager in Utah?
I'm talking about, the guy that went overseas to work.
Oh, yes, Sam.
But, you know, we've had him, you know, to actually leave the country. Our last training cycle, we lost three students who were employed before we even finished the program. And, one of them, was making a pretty good salary when he left the program. He said he just couldn't turn it down. He'd like to finish, but, he couldn't do it. So, don't put yourself in the box that says that I've got to find them a job in my city or my county. Open your program up to as many different work groups as you can. Another thing that's made our program successful is our curriculum. We teach state and national level credentials, curriculums in our program. We're members of partnerships with HMTRI. We're members with a consortium of two-year technical colleges that provide training. So make sure that you have good curriculum. Make sure that the curriculums that you're teaching are going to lead, them to employment. So make sure that you look at your labor demands and the type of jobs that are in your area that you want to place students in. Number three, you got to have student buy-in. We spend a lot of time about halfway through the course being cheerleaders, because it gets tough on week 12, 14, 16 of a 19-week program, because they're up here four nights a week. And so you've got to have the buy-in of the students. So when we first started out, the first six we just took, then the next group we get more and more people involved. We actually interview now. We put faces with applications, and we actually, one of the questions that we ask our students is, this is a 19 week program, can you commit that long? So we ask for them to buy into the program. And then, we extend a great amount of effort to keep them on track to complete. We celebrate their accomplishments. We make a big to-do with our graduation. We host a banquet for them. We allow them to bring guests in with them. We make PowerPoint shows that show them as they're going through the training and, this is what Mama was doing or this is what Dad was doing when, we had to put this big suit on. We put a respirator on them. We have a 53-foot cargo trailer that we use as a confined space module, and so, they consider that to be a great accomplishment, so we allow them to share that with their friends and family. And then, the last thing is just continuous improvement. Once you think you got your program right, that's when you can kind of get complacent. But you always have to be looking at how can we improve it for the next time. So our staff is continually reviewing and revising our curriculums to ensure that students have the most up-to-date information. We're constantly meeting with our partners between cycles, sometimes even during cycles, to make sure that we're teaching you know, the types of classes, and our students are obtaining the types of credentials that local, you know, employers are looking for, that statewide employers are looking for. So we're constantly looking to upgrade. You know, the worst thing that you can do is think that your program's arrived and it is what it is, and we're going to teach this and everything's going to be good. You know, at some point, you're going to run out of, you know, placement opportunities for people. You can only put so many people at the water plant. You can only put so many people at a landfill or at a wastewater treatment plant. So you've got to continuously be involved with your community groups, your community leaders, to make sure that you are changing as the demand for employees change. And so I guess with that, you know, I'll leave, you know, my part of the program, you know, by just saying that, you know, don't paint yourself in a box. You know, always be looking to move your programs forward. Always be looking, you know, change is not bad. Change is a good thing. So always be looking at how you can improve your program. And then finally, make sure that it's not a secret. Make sure it's not the best-kept secret in your town. Invite the press to your graduations. You know, get their pictures in the newspaper. Find ways to, you know, to bring notoriety to your program. And once you do those things, then your program will really sell itself. And, you know, students will, you know, they'll be your best advertisement. The other thing that I'll say and then I'll shut up is that another thing we found is once you get those students, especially with what our program is, and we've got them for 19 weeks, four nights a week, is they become part of your family and you don't ever get rid of them. We still have students that from time to time will come back and you know, say, hey, you know, how's the program going? You know, is it still going? Y'all still getting funding? You know, and so they're staying in contact with us, and they're helping us to sell the program. You know, we always ask potential students, how did you hear about the program? And a great majority of them will be like, well, I knew somebody that went through the program before, and they highly recommended it. So build your program, keep, you know, think outside the box, and continue to grow. And I guess, Mike, with that being said, I'll entertain any questions.
Yeah. That was great. Any questions of Randy? You know, Randy, is it okay if someone does have a question, if they could email you? I'm sure they'll be seeing you at the annual meeting.
Yes. I'll be at the annual meeting. I'll have Ricky Cole, one of our coordinators, with me and possibly another one. So, yeah, I'll be happy to share anything that we've had, you know, how we were able to put our programs together, our curriculums, or whatever else I can do.
What's really neat that impresses me is rural programs are tough. It's tough to recruit. It's tough to place. And as you said, you went to the annual meeting and you were intimidated. We got all these big guys, and they got it easy. They've got all kinds of people to draw from. They got lots of employers. And then I could see, what are we going to do? Well, you did not cringe. You got into it. But the neat thing was you were so flexible. You said, okay, let's go with the flow. What's working? And this isn't working, so let's try this other thing. And that was great. You could have said, this program isn't working and we're not going to do it. It's just not going to work. And we've had grantees who, you know, this is too hard. We can't do it. And you really stepped up and thought outside the box and say, okay, you know, what will work if this isn't working? What's going to work? And that's really paid off for you, Randy.
Yes, great. Sir. We've been very, very blessed with it.
That's great. Well, thanks. And thanks, everybody. This is a great presentation. And
thank you.
We're looking forward to seeing you next on the 22nd. And then, of course, we'll be back on a PLC on the 29th of October. So thanks, everybody, for coming.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.